Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now beginning the eighth perek of Masachet Sotah. The first Mishnah, which is relatively long, is on Daf Mem Bet Amud Aleph in the middle of the Amud. And as promised, we are going to deal in this perek with the laws of Milchama, and most specifically, the encouragement, declarations, warnings, etc. issued by the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, we'll discuss him, and by the Shotrim, the officers, out at the front. We begin as follows, and this, of course, is picking up from Perek Zayin Mishnah Bet that talks about those things that must be said by Lashon HaKodesh. One of them is Mashuach Milchama. Mashuach Milchama, literally the one anointed for war. B'sha'ash medaber al ha'am, when he speaks to the army, B'lashon HaKodesh haya medaber. That was in Lashon HaKodesh. Nemar v'hayak akor avchem al ha'milchama nigash ha'kohen. So, parenthetically, Zek Kohen Mashuach Milchama. That's not any Kohen. It's not the Kohen Gadol. It's the Kohen who's specifically anointed for that purpose. We'll see why in a moment. V'diber al ha'am. That's the rest of the pasuk. He speaks to the people. Lashon HaKodesh. How do we know Diber al ha'am is Lashon HaKodesh? The Gemara will bridge that gap. V'yamar lehem Shema Yisrael atem krivim hayom alo v'echem. Your Shema Yisrael. You are coming today against your enemies. Why does he say it that way? Lo alachichem. It's not a civil war where you're fighting against other Jews. Lo Yehuda al Shimon, v'lo Shimon al Binyamin, which such things did happen. Look at the end of Sefer Shoftim. Shim tiplu bahem yirachamu alechem. If you fall into their hands, they will have rachamim for you. K'ma shenemar, the pasuk in Dvarim, k'mu anashim ashenikvu b'shemot, the famous people got out, v'echsiku b'shivya, they took the captivity, v'chom ma'aru mehem hilbishu min ashalal, and they clothed the naked ones from the loot from the war. Va'bishum va'yanilum va'achilum va'yashkum va'yischum va'yinhalum b'chamorim l'chol koshel. They took care of them. They fed them. They gave them a drink, etc. Va'yivium yiricho irat marim etzal achihem, and they brought them back to their brothers. Va'yashuv v'shomron. And then they went back to the Shomron. Right, so, in other words, cases where Jewish tribes are fighting with each other, they took the captives and they took care of them. That's not who you're coming to. Al-Alivechem atem hochim. You are going against your enemies. Shim tiplu bayadam ein merachamim aleichem. They will not have any rachamim, so that, therefore you have to be much tougher. Make sure not to lose to them. And then he says, Al-Yirachlav avchem al-tiruvi al-tachbazu. Don't be afraid. Don't be feared. Don't be trembling. Al-Yirachlav avchem means, netzahalat susim. Each one of these words of encouragement is corresponding to one of the tactics that the other nations use. We also use such tactics to frighten the enemy. From the neighing of the horses, the clashing of the swords. Al tiru, do not be afraid. These are all sorts of weapons that are making noise. Al tachpazu, mikol kranot. Don't be scared from the sound of the horns that are blowing. Al ta'artzu mnei kol tzvachot. Don't be afraid from all the screaming that you hear. Why? Ki Adonai v'rechem ha'olechim achem. Because Hashem is coming with you in war. Meaning, heim ba'im b'nitzchonon shel basar v'adam, v'atem ba'im b'nitzchonon shel makom. They're coming with human strength. You're coming with divine strength. Plishtim ba'u, and then he continues. He tells stories of how that happened. Plishtim ba'u b'nitzchonon shel Goliat. The Plishtim, Shmuel Aleph Yud Zayin, came with the power of Goliath. Maya Sofo, what happened at the end? Lasof Nafal Bacher Vnaflimo, he died by the sword, and they all died. Read the end of Perek Yud Zayin. Bnei Amon Ba'u Minitzchono Shel Shovach, this is in Shmuel Bet, Perek Chet, Perek Yod, sorry. Bnei Amon came with the victory of Shovach, who was the chief of staff. Maya Sofo, Sof Nafal Bacher Vnaflimo. Again, he fell, they all fell. Ve'atem i'atem kein. You don't have that lot. Ki Adonai v'lechem ha'olechim achem lachem lachem. Hashem is going with you. Zeh machaneh Aron. What does it mean? Hashem is going with you? That's a reference to the Aron going out to war. Alright, that's the first Mishnah. The first question is, Ma'i ka'amar, how did, at the beginning of the Mishnah, it said that we know he speaks Lashon HaKodesh because it says v'diber. What's that about? What's going on? Hachi ke'amar, shenemar v'diber, ulalan omer, Moshe yidaber v'ayim yananu v'kol. We use that pasuk quite a bit in the seventh parak to demonstrate Lashon HaKodesh. So now the word ledaber is being associated with Lashon HaKodesh. Malan Lashon HaKodesh, Avkam Lashon HaKodesh. Tana Rabbanan. So we have a bit of an expansion. Gasha Kohen Deber Alam, Yachol Kol Kohen Shiyirtzeh. Maybe it means any Kohen. It just says the Kohen comes. Tamud Lomar V'dibura Shotrim. Therefore it says that also the officers speak. We'll see some of it is spoken by the Kohanim, some by the officers. We'll see that in the next podcast. Ma shotrim b'mimuneh af kohen b'mimuneh. So just like the shotrim are appointed, the coin has to be an appointed coin, not just any coin. V'hem a coin gadol, so why not coin gadol? So the answer is, do me the shoter, just like an officer. Ma shoter sheish mimuneh al gabav. He is under a supervisory leader. Af kohen sheish mimuneh al gabav. Same thing, the kohen has to be someone who has someone over him, and he can't be the top kohen. So ken golami ha'ika melech al gabav. As we saw in the previous parak, at the end of the previous parak with Parshat HaMelech, the Kohen Gadol is subservient to the king. The answer is Bavodato Kamar, but within the context of his avodah, his worship service, he really is top. Ve'im Askan, so maybe it's the understudy that they appoint for Yom Kippur, although he remains in the job for longer than that. Skan Lav Memunehu, he's not an appointed position. So Chanina himself was Skan HaKohanim. He says, why is there a Skan? Simply there is an understudy in case the Kohen Gadol becomes Pasul before Yom Kippur, he'll be able to come in and do the Avodah. But he's not functioning as second Kohen, he's functioning as an in case, as shall we say, in the bullpen. Alright, now, Umarlehem Shema Yisrael. Maishna Shema Yisrael, so why does the Kohen begin with the word Shema Yisrael to the army? So, symbolically, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want you to use those words to communicate subtly to the army, if all you fulfilled is the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema in the morning and the evening, you still won't lose to them. So, Shema Yisrael, remember that one? You've been doing that, you're okay. The Kohen speaks to them twice. Achat Basfar, once on the edge of the civilized area. The Sfar is the border area. Achat B'machaman, one at the front itself. Bisfar Mahomer, what does he say before they're going out to war? Shimru Divrei Marchei Melchama, listen to those words of the people of Marchei Melchama, which we'll get to in the next Mishnah, which is who's built a house and hasn't yet, etc., etc. And go back if you need to go back. B'machama Mahomer, what does he say at the front? There he gives them encouragement. So before they get to the front, he frightens them off, and those who need to leave will leave. Once they get to the front, he encourages them. So they make a lot of noise with the weapons, and they blow trumpets, and they scream, and then they trample. So can correspond to those four noise tactics that they do to scare people, they give four words of encouragement. All right, from here to the end of today's piece, for the most part, will be agadot relating to both of the examples given by the Kohen of the Plishtim and Ammon. So for this, it's highly suggested that you first read Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Zayin to become familiar with the story of David and Goliath. Goliath, all right? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, why is he called Goliath? Shamad b'gilui panim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was brazen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar b'ru lachem ish v'yared elai. Because what did Goliath do? He came out and said, pick a man and he'll send him, we'll go mano a mano. But vein ish ala HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But midrashically, ish is a reference to God. Shnemar Adonai ish milchama. So it says, if Goliath said, I'll go against your God, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Areni Apilo Al Yad Ben Ish. So I'm going to make him fall, not to an Ish, but to a Ben Ish. How is David introduced in this chapter? Shneamar, V'David Ben Ish Efrati Hazeh. That's when he's first introduced the second time, and that's a sugya for the limud of Sefer Shmuel. V'yocha Mishum Rabbi Meir, B'shlosha Mekomod Lachdu, Lachdo Piv Loto Rasha. Parenthetically, I'm going to put a link on this podcast. You'll see it on the page to the shiur, the podcast that I have on Shmuel Aleph Yud Zayin. If you're interested, you can listen to that also. Give you a sense of the parak. It may be worthwhile doing before studying this particular section. There's three times that this wicked man, meaning Goliath, got tripped up by his own tongue. Echad, he said, Brulacham ish v'yired elai. He said, send down a man. He spoke with too much cockiness. Look what happened to him. V'idach, he said, imyuchali lachemiti v'ikani. And then he said, if he can kill me, then we'll be your slaves. And the fact that he opened his mouth and said that kind of made that a possibility. V'idach, v'dekamar le David, he said to David, hachelav anochi kiatava elai b'maklot. When David showed up with all that the Goliath saw was a staff. He didn't see the slingshot in the rocks in David's pouch. So he said, what am I, a dog that you're coming after me with sticks? And indeed, that's what happened, that David ended up slingshotting him. David Nami Amar Lei, but David also said something. He said, "Atabai Larecher V'chanim Tovachidon, you're coming at me with your spear and your sword and your spear and your lance." So the answer is, "Atabai Larecher V'chanim Tovachidon, you're coming at me with your spear and your sword." But David followed it up immediately in the same pasuk by saying, "But I, on the other hand, are coming in the name of God of the armies that you have shamed." Alright, Vaigashla Plishti Hashkem Varev, it says that the Goliath came Hashkem Varev. It's unclear whether that means once in the morning, once in the evening, or whether he came from morning till evening. But for our purposes, Amar Yochanan Kedela Balan mi Kriyat Shma Shacharit V'Arvit. He came specifically at the time of Kriyat Shema to disturb them so they wouldn't say Shema, based on what we just read, that if all they have is the Schut of Shema, they'll win. But Yatsev Abayim Yom says that Goliath did this for 40 days until David showed up. Amaravi Yochanan Kenegar Abayim Yom Shin Nabehen No Torah. He was trying to counteract the 40 days of Matan Torah. Say Isha Benayim Machanot Plishtim. When Goliath is first introduced, he's called Isha Benayim, the middleman. My Benayim, Rav Shemuvunemi Kol Mum, that he's cleansed of all blemish. He's perfect. Perfect physical specimen. Shmuel Amar Benoni Shebechav. Shmuel says something even more fantastic, that he is Benayim, meaning he's the middle guy among his brethren, meaning there are those who are even bigger than him. The Rabbi Shila Amar, Shehu Asui Kibinyan. He's built like a building. Yochanan Amar, Bar Mea Papi Vachada Nanani. So he gives a description of why he's called Isha Benayim, which is far more derogatory. That he is the result of 100 different suitors and one father, meaning his mother was extremely promiscuous and no idea who the father is. That's Benayim. It's a kind of mixture. Goliath Shmo Migat. He's called Goliath from Gat. Tani Rav Yosef Shakol Dashinat Imoki Gat. Why is he from Gat? Because everybody has their way with his mother, like they work in a wine press. Now in the text, I wrote it says Marchot Plishtim. That's the way we read it. The armies of the Plishtim, but the way it's written is without the chaf. It's read me'arot. So what do we do with that kriyuchtiv? If you're interested in looking at the issue of kriyuchtiv, take a look at the Radak in Sefer Yoshua Perek Yimel, where he talks about that phenomenon. But midrashically, we're going to make more of it. Tanu Rav Yosef Shakol ha'eru be'imo. Why me'arot, which is not what the word means, marchot? Why me'arot? That they all spilled their seed into his mother. La'arot. K'tiv harafa. Now, in Shmuel Bet, towards the end, there's a report of several wars against Philistine giants. And they're called Yelidei harafa. And for some reason, we have the understanding that that's really a reference to Orpah, Ruth's sister-in-law, as it were. So it says harafa, and we read Orpah. And I put the pasuk from root there. Her name really is Harafa. Krashma Orpa. Why is she called Orpa? This is very derogatory, considering that Orpa in the text is really quite good. Shakol Orfino Tami Acharav. They all take her from the back, as it were. Chadamar Orpa. Her real name is Orpa. Valamini Krashma Harafa. Shakol Dashino Takarifot. Everybody threshes her like wheat. When Yonatan ben Achimat and Yonatan ben Aviatan, Achimat ben Tzadok, ran from Yerushalayim when it was under Avshalom's control to go tell David what was happening, they ran into somebody's house in their backyard, and they went into a pit, and to hide from Avshalom's soldiers, the woman threw over a top over it, and threw evidently some threshed wheat there to cover it up. Shtachalav harifot. So that's how we know that that's what that word means. We have another pasukim, tichtosh et ha'avir b'machtesh b'toch harifot ba'eli. Again, the harifot is a threshed wheat. Now, v'et arba'at ele yodula hafa begat v'eplu b'yad David v'yad avadav. Again, in the end of Shmuel Bet, it mentions these four giants who were born to Harafa in Gat, and David and his servants killed them. So, ma'ininu, who are they? Amravchista saf umadon goliat v'yishbibinov. Those are the four that are mentioned there that died. V'eplu b'yad David v'yad avadav. The problem there is that Goliat there is mentioned as dying at the hands of an Elchanan ben Ya'arei or Gim instead of David. Vrabru, much ink has been spilled on that particular problem. So this goes back now to the separation when Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye and left, and Ruth stayed with her. So Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Yavo bnei ha-nishuka, v'blu b'yad bnei ha-dvuka. The one who kissed, her children should fall in the hands of the children of the one who stayed with Naomi. Kissed was a kiss of farewell. So in other words, it was the children of Ruth, which is David and his servants, because David is a direct descendant of Ruth, the great-grandson, who would conquer the children of Orpah. Now, of course, Orpah, of course, is a Moaviyah, and how her children get to be in Plishtim is certainly a mystery. Darash Rava, Bishar Arbad Ma'ot Shorida Orpah Al Chamota, Orpah wept when she left Naomi, Zachtam Yitzum Mena Arba'a Giborim. So now we see that they're having these giants and mighty men in her family as a schut. Shnemar Vatisana Kolan Vatifkana Od. Take a look in Ruth Aleph, you'll see that that she cried several times. All right, so these four giants we mentioned, Saf and etc., are all bischut that she cried. Now, Kativ Chetz Chanito, V'Karnin Eitz Chanito. In the description of Goliath, and I put it in a shadow print, it says Chetz Chanito, which would literally mean the arrow of his spear, and we read it Eitz Chanito, which is the haft of his spear. And it says how long it is, how big it is. Amar Belazar, Adayin lo higi anu lachatzi shifcho shel oto rasha. It says, actually, the text doesn't go all the way in describing how powerful Goliath was. It minimizes it. You see, you shouldn't play up how great Rishayim are. You shouldn't talk about how great they are and how powerful they are. He was so powerful that one arrow was that big. So, v'lo liftach be'bichlal. So, if that's the case, why mention anything about the 5,000 shkalim of nechoshet, of his armor, etc.? The answer is, l'duy shivchet David, because it lets you know how great David was, that he was able to defeat such a giant. Okay, b'nei Amon ba'u minitzchono shel shovach. Now, k'tiv shovach, u'k'tiv shofach. Here we don't have a kri u'k'tiv, but rather we have the text in Shmuel, shovach, and the text in Divrei Hayamim, where he's called shofach. Rabu Shmuel, charamar shofach Shmuel. His real name is shofach. Why is he called Shovach? Which is a dove coat. Sha'asui k'shovach. He was very tall, like a dove coat. And Chanamar Shovach Shmo. The other says Shovach. This is really under Kamashmo Shovach. Why is he called Shovach? Shkol Eoto Nishpach Lefanav Kikiton. Anybody who sees him immediately loses all of his body fluids, spills out Nishpach. Now, Ashpatoka Kever Patuach Kulam Giborim says that there the Ashpa, this is sort of a play on words describing the Nebuchadnezzar soldiers, right? So it mentions that this is just Derech Agav, connected with the idea of seeing a mighty man just losing everything. It says that his dung pile is like an open grave in front of all of these Giborim. Now, Rav Shmuel, Amri La Rav Yami Rav Yasi, so again we have this because Rav Shmuel divided on how to understand the previous piece. They're so powerful that whenever they shoot an arrow, they make piles of victims, of corpses. You think it's because they are such expert shooters? The answer is, but they're not powerful. The answer is no. Kulam giborim. It's because they're so mighty. Whenever they go to the bathroom, ashpatot, osin ashpatot, ashpatot shel zevel. They make piles and piles of fertilizer, so big. Maybe you think it's because they're sick. No, to the mark, kulam giborim. That's why it says they're all valorous. So you can infer from there that a normal person who has a lot of feces when he goes to the bathroom is diseased. Because what's the purpose of telling you that? So you'll know to go to the doctor and check some medicine out. Now, pasuk in Mishlei, saw this in Yoma also. When a person has worry on his heart, yashchena, which literally means put it down. Meaning, put it out of your mind. Charamar, the opposite. Yisichena lacherim, tell somebody else. Get it off your chest. Talk to somebody else. And this is only here because Rav Amin Ravasi may have been the disputants in the previous discussion. All right, in the Mishnah it said Ve'atem i'atem kein. The coin says you don't have the same fate. You are not coming with the power of people. Cholkach lamam neishe Hashem v'chol kinuyav munachin ba'aron, because Hashem and his names are all written in the Aron. And therefore, they play up the power that, you know, you're coming with Hashem. V'chein hu omer, v'shlachotam Moshe elef l'matel l'tzava otam et Pinchas ben Elazar Kohen. This is when they went to the war against Midian. It says that that Moshe sent the 12,000 men with Pinchas. Now it says, otam ve'et Pinchas. Otam elu Sanhedrin. Alright, that's the Sanhedrin went with him. Minchas the Mashuach Mechama. That's what we're talking about. The Kohen who goes out to tell the troops. It says, Uchlei HaKodesh bi'adam ze Aron v'luchot shebo. He sent out the Aron. Chatzotzot ha-trua elu ha-shofarot. They sent shofarot. Now, all that indicates is that the Aron did go out to war. Now, riffing off of that idea, Tana lo l'chinam halach Pinchas l'chama. It's not for naught that Pinchas went to war. Eli parah din avi'imo. He went to exact vengeance for his ancestor on his mother's side. Shnemar rahamdanim machro to al Mitzrayim. It was the Midianim who sold Yosef. And Pinchas, the descendant of Yosef, even though he's a Levi, somewhere within his family there's also Yosefian blood. And therefore, as a descendant of Yosef, he wanted to exact vengeance for the Midianim kidnapping him from the pit and selling him down to Mitzrayim. Lemeimer, the Pinchas mi Yosef ati. You think he comes from Yosef? Aktiv. Elazar Aron lakachlo mimnot putia lo liisha. Remember, Elazar's son is Pinchas. And so Elazar's wife is Mibrot Putiel. Why is he called Putiel? Which means Elazar's mother. Why? My love da ati mi yitro shepite magalim avrat kochavim. So didn't Elazar marry a girl who was a descendant of Yitro? And she's called Putiel because he fattened up calves for Avodah Zarah. Lo, mi Yosef shepit pe Yitro. It's Yosef who pitpeit, again, Putiel, who put down his Yetzer, who subjugated his Yetzer. Ay, valosh fatim vazinoto. But famously, when Pinchas killed the Nasir Shimon, Zimri ben Salu, the tribes made fun of him. It says, Re'item ben putizeh, ben shepitem avim mo agalim lavodat kochavim, yorog nasib Yisrael. Look at this guy. His ancestors were making calves fatted for Avodah Zarah. That's Yitro. And he's killing a Nasi. So he certainly is a descendant of Yitro. The answer is both. Hele'i avod de'imem Yosef, if on his mother's side. There's the blood, Yosef blood, ime de'imem Yitro. So then on his mother's side, his mother's mother comes from Yitro. Obviously his father's a Levi. Ve'ime de'imem Yosef, if his maternal grandmother is from Yosef, avod de'imem Yitro, then his maternal grandfather is from Yitro. Either way, there's both of them. De'kanami dichti bim benot putiel. Therefore, it says that Elazar married something mim binot putiel, as if there's like a double thing. Trey mashma, shvamina. So you see that it's both putis, both Yitro and Yosef. And that brings us to the next Mishnah, which we'll pick up in the next podcast, which will be the final podcast in this very short parak, Shmini Mashuach Milchama. Everybody should have a wonderful day.